podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Route! Red 7! Hot Route!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
All right, welcome in from the Hallis Hall closet, the beautiful closet. It is our delayed emergency.
It's semi-emergency.
Khalil Mack.
Well, we have more to give you now, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
We just saw it. Look, we would have given our quick reaction when the trade went down if we could.
It was physically impossible.
Yes, that's actually accurate.
Yes. We were in different states.
I let you take the heat because you were in a wedding, but I couldn't do it either. I didn't have the equipment where I was. So I rushed down from Wisconsin this morning where I was. I'm headed right back to Wisconsin because I left my family there stranded on the side of the road.
Good father that you are.
Yeah, and we'll have to go pick them up somewhere back wherever I left them. And anyway, this was important today. What a day at Hallis Hall. This is episode 171 of the Hogan Johns podcast. A day that I don't think either of us expected to have.
Monumental?
It certainly signals a new age for Chicago Bears football, whether or not that means it's going to be successful. But I think we can officially say that we are out of the Phil Emery, Mark Trestman lows.
Well, those guys.
And into higher. They should at least be the Lovie Smith type era where their success. There's some playoff games that are getting played and something like that.
I mean, the Lovie Smith era with a legit offensive philosophy that may stay consistent for 1 year. I hear you. But yeah, you know, Phil Emery spent a lot of money in free agency too. This is kind of like a free agency signing in a way, but
he came in and did it immediately.
Yes.
It was I'm here, here's Brandon Marshall. This is 4 years in the making. This is it's aggressive. But this is calculated by Ryan Pace. He spent years getting rid of the garbage, throwing the garbage out here at Hallis Hall, rebuilding the roster back up, and then said, okay, now I'm ready to strike.
And he did it. It's these. I think you brought it up during the press conference. The availability of Khalil Mack. This is so rare. This does not happen. Yes, there's big trades that happen across the league. You know, quarterbacks move on and whatnot. But to have a former defensive player of the year, just two years ago, come available in his prime at 27 years old, it's unheard of. This does not happen in the NFL. And the Bears are the ones who stepped up to the plate and made the best offer for him. They got him. It's quite impressive.
It is. And so, obviously, we had the exchange with Ryan Pace a couple weeks ago where we talked to him. Did that stick with you at all?
A little bit.
I mean, I kind of, listening back to it, now that the trade has actually happened, and you know what, here's the exchange that we had with Bears general manager Ryan Pace when we sat down with him. That was just 9-10 days ago, actually, here at Hallis Hall. And kind of jokingly brought up Khalil Mack. Here's what that exchange sounded like. So what you're saying is you're not giving up 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack.
We're going through every scenario.
Yeah. I'm just giving you the questions that I get on Twitter every single day. And I'm just going to keep telling people probably not. But there's your official answer. Okay, so I have to admit that at the time, I didn't really think much of that.
Well, who would have thought anybody would give up 2 first-round picks?
Right.
Think about it. That's a lot of draft capital for any team, as bold as Ryan Pace has been throughout his tenure here as Bears general manager, from trading Trubisky to doing all sorts of things to his roster, like you said, taking out the garbage, to give up 2 ones, that takes a lot of gumption. That takes a lot of, yeah.
But as the Mac conversation kind of heated up on Thursday into Friday, I did sit back and kind of think about, this is before the trade went down, because everyone's been asking us about it, And I've been very dismissive of it, to be honest. And I was dismissive of it in that conversation. But that's when it kind of stuck out to me. I go, you know, I dismissed it more than he did. And let's look back at the Trubisky situation. No one knew the Bears were going to draft Trubisky. So they very much could be a player in this whole thing. And then sure enough, it ended up happening.
A scenario they were trying to look at, to use his word, scenario. And it's a scenario that, what, it really accelerated over the past 48 hours, starting, what, Friday night or whatever it was. And look, it's a bold move. It's a bold move. And I don't mind the picks. The picks are whatever. If you believe in your team that you're going to make big steps this year, leaps and bounds, maybe, because Trubisky's coming along under Matt Nagy's offense. You bring back your entire starting defense that you think you're not going to have a top 10 pick, then this becomes easier to swallow. And I think that's where the Bears are. I think they're very happy with Mr. Trubisky's progress. They love them some Matt Nagy. They love everything he's brought to this team. And you have a defense that is going to be very good. Now they can be great. You have a great defense right now. A top 10 defense just got even better. They're top 5. Now in my books. Now there's a lot of variables to consider, but you just gave this offense, which will have a transition, even though you believe in it, will have a transition, time to have their ups and downs by giving them a special player for defense that's already good.
And let's not... Okay, there's so many layers to this. Let's first start with the picks that were given up, okay? The easiest way to, I think, have this conversation is look back on the Jay Cutler trade, because that's the biggest... Oh. But that's the biggest comp that we have for this situation. The
Bears, well, I think I know where you're going with this. Okay.
Oh,
okay,
yeah. Just in the impact it had in the years that followed.
Okay.
The Bears gave up 2 first-round picks in that trade. And in fact...
You're going to name these guys.
No. In the two years after they made this trade, they did not make their first pick until the 3rd round.
Mm-hmm.
It would be naive to say that did not hurt them. That... Not having a pick until the 3rd round in back-to-back years hurt them. But what also hurt them was how bad they drafted with
before
the picks.
Yeah.
Well, just in general. I mean, the 3rd round picks they made those 2 years, Jerron Gilbert, Joaquin Iglesias, Major Wright. Okay? They did get Henry Melton in the 4th round in 2009. But the point here being, okay, so how valuable are these draft picks? Let's not overlook the fact that Ryan Pace somehow managed to get a 2nd rounder out of this.
Yeah.
When I saw that
come out. He said it himself. That made the deal for them.
Because, look, this coming year in the spring, they're not going to have a pick until the 3rd round. And that's going to hurt, you know, unless they can trade something and figure it out. But most likely, they're not going to have a pick until the 3rd round. So that'll hurt for a year. But I do think there's some validity in what Pace said was Khalil Mack's our 1st round pick. And Anthony Miller's our 2nd round pick. That's one way to look at it.
That is one way. Those guys are, only one of them is on the rookie contracts. But yes, true, yes,
exactly.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. Because the money is.
It's not a rookie contract exactly. Khalil Mack is on right now.
No, it's definitely not. But then the next year, they won't have a 1st round pick, but they'll have 2 2nd round picks. And I like the confidence that Ryan Pace showed today. It's like, I think we've proven that we can find pretty good players in the 2nd round.
Oh, yeah. Cody Whitehair, Eddie Goldman.
He has. He absolutely has.
James Daniels. Anthony Miller, I think, is going to be an immediate contributor this year.
So I don't think the long-term blow from the draft capital given up will be as severe as it was with Jay Cutler. Now, time will tell, but the fact that they're going to have 2 second-round picks next year, in 2020, sets this up to be better than it was following the 2 years in the aftermath of the Jay Cutler trade.
I got a couple of thoughts on that. Quarterback, completely different position than pass rusher. Obviously, the two most valuable positions. Secondly, you can't ignore Ryan Pace has built over the past 4 drafts, past 4 runs of free agency, past 4 runs of undrafted free agency. He's built something. There's already a core established here. You have your Akeem Hicks. You have your Eddie Jacksons. You have your Adrian Amoses. You have your Eddie Goldmans. Yes, Amos and Goldman may need new deals. Those can come. The Bears have plenty of salary cap flexibility. Something has already been built to this point. It's not like you're adding Khalil Mack and, you know, it's Khalil Mack or bust. You already have young cores established on both sides of the ball and affordable cores on both sides of the ball. A good mix of draft picks and a good mix of young up-and-coming free agents still signings. Like an Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. These guys are younger than 27 years old. Trey Burton's younger than 27. I mean, you have a core, a foundation established, and to see a big name star player like Khalil Mack become available, that only breaks to it. And I get the Jay Cutler thing, and the Bears had their defense back then, but it's entirely different situations, entirely different players. You know, when you act and you acquire like a Jay Cutler like player, like when you acquire Jay Cutler, you're asking him to be a leader in day one. They're not asking that for Khalil Mack. This leadership core is already established on the Bears.
Thing. Yeah, but I think Mack will be a part
of
it.
Well, yeah, I get it. But like a quarterback is expected to be the face of your team.
Well, the other reason I wanted to bring up the Cutler thing, though, is I will argue this forever. I'd do that trade again tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would still do that. It didn't work out, and I would still do that trade again tomorrow because you have to go back to where the Bears were, and they had a defense that had gotten so close to winning the Super Bowl, and they knew they needed a quarterback. And while Cutler turned out to be what he was, and by the way, he still brought a lot of stability to the Bears.
That's
for
a great
lot
way to
years.
Put it. Like the stability he brought to a position that had so much change.
Well, how many years do we have to look at where he got hurt and the season went downhill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His value was immense.
He was better than what he gets credit for.
Yeah.
Okay?
So he's just historically the statistically best quarterback the Bears have ever had.
So did it exactly. So you do that trade every single time again. If you don't make that trade, the Bears wouldn't have been any better off than they were with him. Mm-hmm. Okay, they had a defense that was aging. They had a window that was closing, and they tried to attack the quarterback spot to solve it. And you know what? If he doesn't get hurt against the Packers in the NFC Championship game, who knows what happens?
That goes back to my point. You brought in a quarterback who's expected to be the new face of your team for a window, championship window that was closing, or
there was more urgency.
The urgency was there. You're bringing in Khalil Mack and adding him to a foundation where they're opening up that window, right? He's part of the guy. Him and Mr. Trubisky, they could, you know, share the window and prop it open together.
Right.
I mean, that's what's happening here. You got your quarterback, and you now have Khalil Mack to go with your Roquan Smiths and your Akeem Hicks and your Eddie Jacksons on defense. Guys that were drafted, guys that were signed for agency and some good moves. Look, it's different situations. I get the point of bringing up Jay Cutler. I just think there are certain variables that you have to consider when comparing those two situations.
Well, the reason I'm doing it, though, is because I'm bringing up a situation that really did not lead to a Super Bowl. Did not,
right.
You don't look back on it and say, oh, that it worked. But there's a difference between did the trade work and would you do it again? Or was it the right move at the time? I still think it was the right move at the time.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm getting at is, okay, let's now evaluate this trade. It's similar in that you're giving up two first-round picks again. So I already brought up the first point, that I don't think the blow from the draft capital will hurt as much as it hurt the Bears before, which was a tough situation. To not have first, second-round picks as your defensive window was closing, it's part of the reason why they got in the hole.
You couldn't retool certain holes they had developed defensively. You couldn't find a top-tier receiver for Jay Cutler. But you know what? Mitch Trubisky already has his Allen Robinson. He already has his Taylor Gabriel. He already has his Anthony Miller. He already has his Trey Burton. He already has his Tariq Cohen. He already has his Jordan Howard. He already has his Adam Machine. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Completely different situations. And look, this is a win-now move and a win-later move. He is 27 years old.
Well, he could have said the same about Cutler because he was 25. But
that window, that defensive window, was changing.
Beyond the draft capital, I think this being a better situation than where the Bears were when they made the Cutler trade.
Yes.
I feel much better about this player being dominant and being a Pro Bowler and continuing to be as good as he has been than I ever did Cutler. Well, Cutler was still a gamble.
Yeah.
And in this case, this to me is a much more sure thing. He's still 27. Now, is there going to be a tail off at some point? Probably. He's never missed a game in 4 years, which is incredible. Will he miss a game? By the way, that's an important to bring up and why I think there's a 99% chance he's playing against the Packers.
Oh, because his durability and the way he takes care of himself.
He'll get out there.
He'll
play us.
Yeah.
But that's a tangent.
So Roquan Smith, everybody. Just wait.
So, again, the point there being the player should work out. The draft capital that you gave up should not hurt as much Now, the money is incredible. So that's a different conversation, because eventually you're going to have to pay Mitch. You're going to have to pay other guys. So we'll see how that plays out in the future.
But that's a 3-4 year window we're talking.
Sure.
And the salary cap's going to go up. The money's going to change. You got certain guys that are counted on your cap right now that won't be in your roster. Then guys like Danny Trevathan, people always speculate about him. Is he going to be here for long term? Kyle Long, you could go on and on and on. Allen Robinson's deal is only 3 years. So there's – yes. Forget everything I just said in terms of like this window you have right now with every player I just listed. You're fine because you're taking advantage of your young quarterback, your young promising quarterback who's on his rookie deal. You can afford to spend lavishly just like the Eagles did, just like the Rams did, to supplement around your quarterback, to supplement your defense when you have your good promising quarterback on his rookie deal.
Plus, that Cutler trade was out of complete desperation because you couldn't figure out how to draft a quarterback for 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you could argue that at least a little bit of this is trying to cover up from some past mistakes and not finding enough edge rushers. But I would say, you know, even if Leonard Floyd was already a Pro Bowler, you still make this move.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have a lot of depth at the position.
Mm-hmm.
And all he does is he's another piece to add to the defense. So, and he's also not the quarterback position is so important. Yes, pass rusher's the second most important, but there's multiple of those guys on the field. There's only one quarterback.
Right.
So your quarterback goes down, you're screwed. If Khalil Mack goes down, that's going to hurt, no question. But let's not forget that this was already a top 10 defense.
Yeah. Number 7 in sacks without having a double digit sack guy. 42 sacks last year.
Yeah.
That's a high sack ratio for a team, again, that was led by a defensive lineman in sacks. And just to go back to your point about resumes and whatnot, Jay Cutler's resume with the Broncos, I mean, it included controversy with his own coach, Josh. I know he wasn't his own coach, but Josh McDaniels, you know, I know he did have one Pro Bowl there. But here, this guy the Bears just got, that's 3 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pros, and a Defensive Player of the Year award.
And by all accounts, he's just a workhorse.
Oh, I got that vibe.
Doesn't talk a lot, just goes to work.
Yeah, oh, listening to him today, he wanted to go. He was like almost, like he wasn't annoyed he was talking to us, but as it got longer and longer, he wanted to go into his playbook, man.
And by the way, we're going to play the press conference for you. Here's what we're going to do in that regard, because both press conferences were long today. Nagy talked, Pace talked, Mac talked. We're going to put them in the podcast, but we're going to put it all at the end. So if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, you don't have to. We want to make sure you get our thoughts. So we're just going to kind of do all that at the end. You can listen for as long as you want, but we want to make sure we get our thoughts out for you first, since, man, people legitimately thought you should have left his wedding yesterday to do an emergency podcast.
I ushered the hell out of that church.
By the way,
handing out the books, the programs, holding doors.
And that's a big church, I know.
Telling people where the bathroom is. That's a very nice church.
That's the church. Yeah. That's where I went to school when I was a kid.
Yeah.
By the way, hashtag congrats, Kevin Mack.
Yeah, it's my brother-in-law, yes. Feeling the effects a little bit. Not like a week in Ireland, but moving slow.
So it was a big wedding. You had to be there. Look, this is incredible. How do you think this changes the season?
Okay, that's where I wanted to go with this. So my season prediction, we don't do season predictions till like the week of week one, right? People do them when the schedule comes out. That makes no sense to me. We've never done that. So I had them at like 7-9, maybe 8-8 if I was feeling overly optimistic.
That's kind of where I've been too.
I think I'm leaning towards, I told somebody at that wedding last night, maybe 10-6. Now, that may have been a few Miller Lights talking. Maybe a shot of whiskey talking.
I was going to say, you're just drinking Miller Lights all night?
No, we had some. It's an Irish wedding, man. There was some Jameson.
Okay.
So, yeah, that may have been the JMO talking. Now, I'm still feeling, though, this could be 8-8, 9-17. It could happen. You've heard my thoughts on this division before. We've talked about this at length. A lot of change in every city that the NFC North calls home. Green Bay, new GM, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, lots of changes. New quarterback in Minnesota, new head coach in Detroit. Obviously, we know all about the changes here. Gains could be made, man. You just brought in an elite defender, a top 2 pass rusher in the league. to go after those guys. This changes the whole complexion of the division. And if this offense makes the steps Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace believes it can make, I honestly think now 8-8, 9-7 is a realistic expectation for the Bears.
Well, it's like wins above replacement in baseball. It's a little bit harder when there's less games in a football season, but a defensive player of the year adds a win or two.
Yeah.
And I already thought, we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago, too. Just look at the schedule. There's been a lot of talk about how hard it is. And, yeah, there are hard parts. I already thought, though, that 2-2 to start the year was not only realistic, but should be the expectation.
Yeah.
And 3-1 wasn't out of the question. That was before the Khalil Mack trade. Now, it gets harder as you go along. I mean, the Patriots, that's a home game, you have your division. It'll be interesting to see what the 49ers look like when you play them later in the year. The Rams are obviously very good. So there's some tougher games as you go along. But these first 4 weeks at Green Bay, I thought it was already a winnable game before Mack. Now this changes the dynamic. In fact, I should look up what the spread is and how much that's changed.
It'll still be interesting to see how much he plays. It'll be interesting to see how much Roquan Smith plays. It'll be interesting to see what Leonard Floyd can do with the cast on his hand. But you're right. That should change the spread of that game.
It actually only went down 7.5. Packers are still favored by.
Okay.
It was 8.
Okay.
But that probably is that because they don't necessarily know that Mack's going to play yet.
Yeah. So. Can we say almost for certain? We feel at least he's going to play. I think Roquan Smith is going to play.
He could be on a pitch count, but I...
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You know, 3rd and 11? Of course I'm having him out there. See quarterback? Yeah. Get quarterback. See number 12? Got a guy with the other big contract?
Mm-hmm.
Go get him.
By the way, NBC and ESPN must feel really good about putting the Bears on Sunday night and Monday night football the first 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. But we've always preached, cautious optimism with the Bears. We've been to almost every practice that the Bears have had. We've seen them pick apart the Broncos starters in practice. We've seen them have success. We've seen Mitch Trubisky be efficient. We've seen him be accurate. We've seen him throw the ball down the field and make long completions. There was reason for optimism before Khalil Mack, and I think this just cements their belief in Trubisky. They went out and got a guy, paid him a lot of money, special player, but you do that also having faith that your quarterback's going to come around in a year or two. And I think you're going to see that.
And that's probably the biggest variable in where the season's going to go. Whatever the win total is, and we can probably talk about that more on Thursday's preview podcast, what this does is I think puts them on the fringe of the playoff conversation. It's a possibility. Is that the expectation? I don't know that that's a fair expectation, but it's a possibility this year. And I don't know that you could have said that before Saturday morning when this news came out. How much the offense evolves, though? This was the missing piece on the defense. It really was. I still have questions about their depth at corner probably right now, and maybe before we get to these press conferences, we should talk about some of these roster moves. But offensively, that's the big unknown. And let's not forget, they haven't played football in 3 weeks. Because they sat against the Chiefs and they didn't play in the last preseason game. This is you're adding Roquan Smith, you're adding Khalil Mack to the defense, and no one's played in 3 weeks.
A lot of unknowns.
This has
a very
college football-y week 1 type of thing because you just don't know what it's all going to look like.
Right. I just think having an offense that is going to try to score points for once instead of trying to eat clock and get off the field and not, you know, do anything.
Is that what you're supposed to do on offense?
Whatsoever, yeah. Get the ball in the end zone. Really, it's kind of crazy and unheard of. But just thinking about that. Just a marginal improvement from the offense, which you're going to get regardless because of the upgrades and with Trubisky being in his second year and because of the philosophies of Matt Nagy. That immediately benefits a defense that just added Khalil Mack and that finished top 10 in a lot of statistical categories last year, despite having to make up for an awful offense.
Yeah.
Think about that.
And that's something we've exhaustively talked about all offseason, is like there should just be some defensive improvement based on the offense being better.
Yeah.
And now you added Khalil freaking
right,
Mack.
And it works both ways. You can deliver Mitch Trubisky short fields.
Sure.
Now, we talk about turnover problems for the Bears. Adding a guy like Khalil Mack immediately improves your turnover margin because of the amount of pressure he generates, the more errant throws he generates because of his amazing abilities.
Yeah. All right, roster moves real quick. Some important ones. Probably the most notable one is Adam Shaheen's going to go on IR. Ryan Pace confirmed that today.
Likely a candidate to return. That's the plan.
And he did not need surgery,
yes,
which was important. Sometimes when you say, oh, we're still getting opinions, to me that usually means
seeking out the best surgeon or something.
Yeah, or does he really need the surgery, or can he go without the surgery? So it's still an ankle foot sprain, whatever that means. He's going on IR. He's going to be out half the season, but is a candidate to return. It's a blow to the offense. But,
well, they had big plans for Adam Shaheen. Let's be clear about that. We saw that in Denver. Him and Trey Burton were literally almost unstoppable. And we're talking about like Brandon Marshall, pretty good linebacker for the Denver Broncos. Had all sorts of problems with these guys over the middle and the combinations that they were in terms of their routes and stuff like that. Quite the duo, quite the tandem out there. So it is a disappointing loss for a second-round pick. Talk about second-round picks and how the Bears have had success with them. He has – Matt Nagy was very excited about what
Adam Shaheen
could be.
Was set up to have a breakout year.
Yeah.
And that's going to be on hold because even when he comes back, he's going to be rusty. And we're talking about a kid who's still developing. So, unfortunately, even if he comes back this year, I think to be talking about a breakout season, this delays things a year. So that's a big blow for the offense. The good news is – Trey Burton was still going to be the number one receiving tight end, I think. Could be the number one receiver on the team when it's all said and done. And there is some depth.
Fantasy note.
Yeah. There is some depth at that position. So it was a position where you could stomach what so far has been the most significant blow of the preseason.
Yes, Daniel Brown, from what I'm gathering, he should be okay.
He had the shoulder the other night.
Ben Broniker, he's another good depth piece too. Deion Sims is returning from his concussion as well. As we talked about in our podcast with Ryan Pace, you could absorb the Adam Shaheen injury more than you can absorb the Leonard Floyd injury. But now you have Khalil Mack too. So
right.
All in all, not too bad.
Hronis Grassou,
did
get cut.
Did you cry?
No.
It was today. It was like just now.
No, yesterday I was in shock when he wasn't cut.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He gone.
Yeah. Great locker room guy. Good friends with Jay Cutler, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But he was your starting center a couple years ago, and then he tears his ACL at Family Fest. In terms of, like, protecting your players, you know, in terms of needless practices, live practices at Soldier Field. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they stopped doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, tough blow for a good locker room guy. Maybe he lands somewhere, but yeah, that's a third-round pick. They shouldn't get much out of, let's be honest.
No, that one didn't work out. So, Hronis Grassou, he was actually the spot cleared for Khalil Mack because you had to take him off that did-not-report list to have him practice tomorrow because he has not reported. He's here. He's ready to practice tomorrow, and they'll be gauging him and Roquan Smith all week to see how much they can get out of him Sunday night. Otherwise, on the roster, not any huge surprises. The one that did get me, Marcus Cooper over Craven LeBlanc was interesting. Actually, probably should have asked Ryan Pace about that today.
Kevin Tolliver made the team.
Yep.
So bigger, faster, maybe.
So that'll be interesting to see what the depth chart looks like. They must like Cooper on special teams.
Yeah. He's played inside a little bit too, in nickelback.
Yeah.
Sporadically throughout camp, so maybe he's the backup to Bryce Callahan. But yeah, I thought Craven LeBlanc had a spot on this roster. Yeah. I was surprised.
But there's always one of those
every year.
There's something that gets you.
Well, it's the whole thing is, you know, he was good enough until he wasn't. Kevin Tolliver comes up, impresses throughout training camp, and then you have LeBlanc, who's been dealing with some ailments of some sort recently. So, look, it's the NFL, man. It's not for long.
Javon Wims did make it, which we all so
Kevin White too.
So there's some depth at wide receiver. It'll be interesting to see how those guys come along, and really where Kevin White fits once the real thing. I mean, because we really haven't seen Allen Robinson at all. I mean, you know, when Week One comes, he's going to play a ton. So that'll be one of the things we're watching closely against the Packers is how the receivers all look and really the whole offense.
Yeah, how they sort it out. You have six on the roster right now. I'm guessing Javon Wims or Kevin White will be inactive in game one. I don't think either of them will have a major special teams role. I know Javon Wims has worked there more than Kevin White has, who I don't think has worked on it at all. But something
I can't
to watch.
Imagine Kevin White's inactive.
Over Wims? I would start Wims over him. Send a point to the first-round pick. Javon Wims has been better this preseason.
Maybe that's a battle they haven't practiced during the week.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. All right. Well, we have plenty of time to preview the Packer game on Thursday. We'll get back in our regular routine, recording the preview podcast for the weekend on Thursday morning. So that's when you can expect our next episode. We didn't think we'd be doing one today, but it's our delayed emergency Khalil Mack podcast. And it's been fun.
Just a day late.
Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna play for you everything that was said at Halas Hall today. The Khalil Mack press conference, he talked first. You'll hear kind of in the background a couple moments where his father said,
that was cool. That's a cool moment. Yeah.
And so his parents, to set that up, his parents were sitting close by on the side.
Right next to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy.
And a couple times when Mack said something, you could hear his dad go, yes! Like, that's my boy.
He was fist bumping. He was fist bumping. Yeah. And that's a proud moment. That's cool to see.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you'll hear kind of a couple moments in the press conference where there's a little bit of an exchange going off to the side. That's exactly what was happening there. And then right after Khalil Mack, we'll jump into the Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy press conference, which was right after. And this went for a while. So the reason we wanted to leave this for the end is to give you the opportunity to hear it if you want to. And if you don't, that's everything we had to say about this. And we'll talk to you on Thursday when we're previewing week one. I can't believe we're finally here. All right, here it is, starting with Khalil Mack's press conference today at Halas Hall.
Khalil, how ready will you be, not having had camp? I mean, you've been in the NFL for 4 years.
No doubt.
Physically, I mean, the Bears just had a linebacker show up after missing a lot of camp and get a hand.
No doubt. Yeah, Green Bay. I feel like I'm ready. But, you know, the game, you got to get out there and get to it, and my body will respond the way it's going to respond, and then the coaches are going to kind of ease me into it. So we're going to figure it out.
How's this all thought? Is it going to be a big bowl win?
Absolutely. You said the right word, man. That's the first thing I told Mr. Pace and Coach Nagy last night. It's been a whirlwind, and it happened fast. And but I'm blessed, and I'm thankful, and I'm glad to be here.
When did you first?
Exactly. One of the most historic in the NFL. Coming from where I came from, which is a great, great, great organization, but coming to a staple and a real, real rich history-based organization is especially for the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be exciting and it's new, but I'm looking forward to it.
When your holdout began, what did you hope would ultimately be accomplished through the whole process?
That I get a deal. And it's happened, and I'm glad I'm here, and I'm blessed, and I really can't complain, man. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
When did you have a sense that it wouldn't be with Oakland?
Last night, yesterday, sometime. It was a real sense then when I got on the plane, and it's been a whirlwind, but it's been exciting, and it's new, and I'm looking forward to it, man. I really can't wait. I'm itching. It's been a long time since I played football. Yeah.
How many teams were recruiting you that you could share?
Recruiting? I don't think there's. Obviously you might have some interest. My agent Joe did a great job throughout this whole process. You probably get calls and here and there trying to figure out what's going on. But even then, I wasn't focused on that. I let him focus on it. But I just stayed on the grind and wanted to be ready. And just so happens, the opportunity is going to come next Sunday.
So besides the deal, yeah. Bears, what were the alluring traits that, you know, you look at a new head coach?
Yeah, absolutely.
An aggressive general manager.
Exactly.
A defense with Vic Fangio. What lured you to this place?
I mean, you could say it lured, but to be wanted, That's all it takes. You know what I mean? It's just that feeling that they're excited to have you, and just understanding what's going on over here right now. It's an exciting time to be a Chicago Bear. You got a young talent, and on the defensive side of the ball, you definitely have some dogs, and I'm looking forward to getting out there with them dogs.
What do you know about Vic Fangio?
Oh, man, you talk about 49ers, seeing some of the clips, watching Alden film back in the day, him, looking at him and Justin Smith, looking at the things they were doing with Patrick Willis and bringing this guy and that guy, Navarro, and all these different players, man. Just looking at the things he was able to do, it's very impressive.
Have you had a chance to meet any of the Bears players today?
I probably met a few in the training room a little bit this morning, but other than that, yeah, that's about it.
What have you been doing this summer to kind of stay prepared during that play?
Everything. Everything. I can't even tell you. I can't begin to tell you what everything I've been doing. But I knew I wanted this to happen, and I wanted to be ready for the moment.
Bears haven't made the playoffs in a number of years. People are looking at you, your addition now, as kind of the thing that's going to get them there. Do you feel like you could be the missing piece that takes them back to that?
I mean, you could say a lot of different things, but until I go out there and play, I'm not a big talker. I like to go out and use my actions to speak, you know, and when I get out there and get on the field, you can probably sense what's going to happen. But I want to win, you know what I mean? Everybody wants to win. This team wants to win, and championships is definitely the goal.
How difficult was it for you to say goodbye to Oakland? A lot of your former teammates were tweeting their disappointment.
It was difficult for me to say goodbye?
Yeah.
You really don't have the chance to, in a sense. I mean, you get texts from your teammates, well, your old teammates, and yeah, you can say goodbye that way. But you really don't have that chance. It's a whirlwind. I got to get in here. Got to get in here, learn the playbook, figure out my new teammates, figure out where their heads at, and come in here and try to contribute to win right away. Right away. There's really no time to kind of think about it. It's been quick for me. It's been real quick.
I'm sorry. Is there any pressure that comes with being the highest paid defensive player of all?
Absolutely. I'd be lying if I told you it weren't. But just based on how hard I work, and how hard I play, I want to be able to go out and show why. And that's just me. I always thought of myself as the best defensive player in the league, and I want to play like the best defensive player in the league. You know what I mean? I want to be the best at what I do, and that's just me. That's just me. That's what comes with Mac.
Khalil,
good response, Pop.
This fan base is starving for a winner. In the last 24 hours since this franchise acquired you, the fan base has gone bananas. I mean, there's already billboards on the expressways in this town welcoming you to Chicago.
Man, I didn't know
that. Does that excite you? Does that juice you?
Absolutely. That's exciting. That's very exciting. But that's only one side of it, right? What excites me more is coming in and learning the playbook, coming in and getting to know my teammates, my new teammates, coming in and being around the coaching staff and understanding the system. These are the things that excites me even more. I love the game of football. That's what I'm all about. And that's just what excites me more than anything. But like you said, that's one side of being excited. But that excitement right there is everything for me right now. It got me shaking a little bit just thinking about it.
When you look at this defense and you identify the dogs on this defense, who are some of those guys that jump around?
I met Akeem this morning. You talking about Leonard, speed off the edge, Kyle Fuller. I mean, he's a corner that comes down and tackles like a linebacker. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing some of the things he's been doing, which has kind of been off and on, but he's definitely a dog in himself. And then you got Trevathan. I remember seeing him in Denver up close and personal, you know what I mean? But it's been a few years since I've seen him up down there, obviously. But, yeah, just understanding that you got those guys that definitely are some dogs.
What impression did Matt Nagy's offense leave on you from Kansas City?
Oh, yeah, he threw a lot of different things at me. He threw a lot of different things at me, man. He threw a lot of different things at me. Played double tight ends, different formations, mixed it up, played fast, and they did a great job managing the game and playing fast and playing smart. He made it hard for you because if you messed up, then they were going to gut you. And, yeah, they had a lot of good pieces down there as well. And so I'm looking forward to see what they do here.
What did you think when Aaron Donald signed his contract? What did you think when you saw that?
I ain't said it in front of my parents. I would have said if they weren't here. But I was like, dog. I'm going to say that. Dog. Well, dang. Yeah. Like, wow. And that was exciting for me. Yeah, that was just obviously exciting to see somebody that work hard get that. You know what I'm saying? And kudos to him and that organization. But I'm here. I'm here in Chicago, ready to do it.
Khalil, you weren't even born when the Bears last won a Super Bowl around here. What do you know about that sense of history? And that it was one or two defensive plays in any one of those games that year that changed the course of a game where you knew the other team was done.
Yeah.
That sense of history, that sense of defense, that sense of just taking over a game.
Yeah, just dominate, just pure domination. That's what I want to be a part of here, especially just thinking about the potential of what you can do, but not basing it on the potential, going out and actually doing it is what I'm all about. And the rich Bears, 1985 Bears defense, just thinking about those days, just seeing it on NFL films and just investing and reminiscing about those times. You want to bring those times back to the present.
Were you a historian? I mean, did you go look at that stuff?
You can't miss it. If you watch the game, if you love the game, you can't miss seeing Mike Singletary and all these different guys and the Buckets and all these different. You know these names. It's, if you love the game, if you play defense, you know these names, and it's a rich history.
You couldn't say what about when you saw the money that you were signing for? What did you say to yourself?
Whoa. Oh, really? Okay. All right. But even then, that's one part of it. That's the one part of it. The other side is I want to be great. I want to be known as one of the best to play the game. And that's what it's all about for me, regardless of how you look at it. That's what it's all about for me, and I'm going to go out and work hard and make sure I put my stamp on it.
The Bears fans who haven't seen you, right, every
yeah.
day,
yeah.
What are they getting in you as a football player?
Ah, man, I almost don't want to say it. I just want them to, I want them to figure it out for themselves. But you definitely get a hard worker, a guy that's going to come in and be a great teammate. That's the two most important things that you can pretty much say at this point for me. I'm gonna come in and be a hard worker, and I'm gonna try to lead by example and be a great teammate. And everything on the field gonna take care of itself, baby.
Players of your caliber don't normally change teams in the prime of your career. How surprised are you by how this all went down?
I mean, I told somebody earlier, I was definitely shocked. You know, you're definitely shocked, but you can't really even, you don't have time to be shocked for long. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, oh, word? Okay, what time the flight tonight? All right, I guess I ain't got time to really think about it for real. But even then, I'm just looking forward to playing this game that I love, and I'm thankful to the McCaskey family and Mr. Pace and Coach for giving me this opportunity.
How does one go about learning the playbook? You know, if you want to play
absolutely
next Sunday, like, what do you do? Who do you get with?
That's why I can't be here for long. I gotta go look. I gotta go talk to the coaches and figure it out. I gotta go make sure I grab this playbook. I had a playbook in my hand for like 2 seconds and was about to sit down, but couldn't sit down and had to do interviews and keep moving and meet coaches and meet everybody. But that's the most exciting part for me, and I'm looking forward to it, especially that's going to be right after this. Cool, perfect.
Khalil, where have you been training the last 6 weeks, just staying ready?
Man, I've been everywhere. I've been moving. It's just, I mean, I feel like people have been taking pictures of me at 24-hour fitness. It's just random night times of the night. I've been everywhere training. Yeah.
Well, once you knew that the trade was in place but you had to get a contract done, did you stop to take time to reach out to Ryan and Matt to find out how you were going to be used or learn about the organization?
Say that one more time. I couldn't hear
them. Once you knew that the trade was in place but you had to get the contract done,
okay.
Did you have time to talk to Ryan and Matt about how you were going to be used? Did you inquire about Chicago and the organization, or did they just go right to the financial part?
I don't even remember that part, but I remember getting a text probably when the trade was done, getting a text and been able to call, got a call from from Coach Aggie. And just the excitement part was like, yeah, be excited to have you, and I'm excited to be here, type of thing. But even then, understanding that I'm gonna be trying to go get the quarterback for sure. That's the only part I'm, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's the only part I can really understand at this point.
What kind of impact do you hope to have on this defense? I mean, do you see yourself as one of 11 out there, or do you see yourself as the caliber of player who's going to kind of lead the way?
I mean, when it comes to playing team defense, you don't see yourself as one of 11. You see all 11 men out there as one force. Everybody making plays. That's what it's really all about. That's why I said I want to be a great teammate. You know what I mean? I'm gonna do my job, and you expect everybody else to do theirs as well.
What are your thoughts on seeing Aaron Rodgers twice a year?
Oh yeah, that's exciting. You want to go against the best. You want to go against the best. I feel like he's one of the best in the game, and that's exciting for me. I'm a competitor. That's what I love to do. I love to compete against the best, because that brings your level up just that much more.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Were you close to being a Packer?
I have no clue. I don't know about none of that. Gotta ask Joe.
You were obviously defensive player of the year a couple of years ago. But do you still carry the fact that you were a two-star recruit coming out of high school? Is that still something that sticks with you after all these years?
Absolutely. You carry all of that. I feel like it's a bad thing, but I like looking at the negative stuff, because it fuels me. It lights a fire that is going to be burning for a long time. You know what I mean? And that's just me. But even then, like you said, 2016 was how long ago? That's 2 years ago, you know what I'm saying? I want to bring that level of football back, especially to my play.
What allowed you to reach those heights in 2016, and what are you most proud of from that year?
So what am I most proud of for reaching?
What allowed you to reach those heights?
I mean, you have teammates. You have teammates. Obviously, it definitely helped that we won football games, you know what I mean? When you win, those type of things can happen, and that's definitely what I'm looking forward to here. I want to win. Yes, sir.
The first call?
Absolutely. Respectively, you were the first call. He asked where you the first call for the deal when it got done. Respectably. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
You've been part of now the Raiders. I mean, obviously, family's important. You have a sense of the history of the game. Your career began with a charter franchise, Raiders being in that kind of nation. Did you have a sense of that culture? And now you're coming to Chicago, which is another
exactly. You say, did I have a sense of it?
Yes.
Absolutely. You come, especially coming from there, you definitely see the rich history. You see all the great players, and then you come here, you see the rich history and all the great players, and it's a reminder that you want to be great as well. You know what I mean? And that's always on my mind. I want to be great.
What do you know about Roquan Smith, and do you plan on being a mentor role to him at all?
I'm familiar that he was at Georgia, I believe. Yeah. I remember seeing some of his highlights when he was first coming out, and thinking that we probably, at the time, the Raiders would probably potentially get him, or maybe who knows, type of thing. But even then, I know he's a hell of a player. He has a nose for the football, and I'm looking forward to see what he does. That's my first thoughts. All the other stuff, we'll figure it out.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming out on a Sunday. So, obviously, a lot of mixed emotions the last couple days, as you guys know. A lot of excitement with improving our roster, improving our team, but also a lot of tough cuts that take place. We appreciate every single one of those guys. They poured their heart into making this team. Those decisions are never easy, and we wish those guys the best of luck. I know, one of the things that kind of got emphasized to me with all those discussions was the type of locker room we have right now. So even when you're saying goodbye to players, 37 players, you can feel the culture, the environment we have right now, the type of players we have on this team, and that's a good feeling, because I really feel like we made a lot of strides in that area. We have a great locker room with a lot of good teammates. A lot of decisions have been made. I know you guys are really here for one primary decision, but a lot goes into all these decisions. And one thing that I appreciate is how collaborative it's been. And that's imperative through this whole process. So starting with ownership, you know, talking with George through this whole process, Ted Phillips, Matt and I have been arm in arm on every one of these organizational decisions, not just this one, every single decision. Our coaching staff, with Khalil specifically, Vic Fangio and Brandon Staley, Josh Lucas, Champ Kelly, Joey Lane did a great job handling the contract, really all of our scouts. So a lot of credit to everyone in this building, and it really was a group effort, and I'm proud of our organization right now. I'd also like to take this time to thank the Raiders organization. Have a ton of respect for those guys, starting with Reggie McKenzie and John Gruden, just working through this process. And it was a process. And the best deals, guys, are when you feel like a win-win takes place for both sides. And we truly believe that took place. And a lot of respect for those guys. But with that, we'd be happy to take any questions.
Ryan, there were a lot of doubts around the league that the Raiders would ultimately pull the trigger on getting rid of one of the best players in the game. What was the evolution for you of gauging how realistic this was going
to
be?
Yeah, Dan, so it probably, you know, we started getting kind of a little bit of bead that this could be a possibility, maybe even before training camp. You hear the rumors, right? And Matt and I would talk about it. And, you know, I touched base with the Raiders just to feel if that was real or not. And, you know, maybe back then it didn't seem like it could be realistic. And I think just as time went on, and you never know what's going on that side, it became more of a reality. One thing that Matt and I kept on stressing to each other, and it's a term he kept on using, was persistence over resistance. So persistence over resistance. So we just stayed focused on it, you know. And I think probably in the last week it heated up. And just having more and more conversations with Reggie. And Reggie and I have a great relationship, which I think helped a lot as we navigated through all this.
When you look back, are you surprised now that this developed and that you have Khalil Mack? Because it surprised everybody.
I don't know if I'd say surprised. I think, you know, it's we always talk about this is a premier player at a premier position. And this doesn't come around that often. So when it does come around, I'm just proud that I work for an organization that's willing to be aggressive in these times and that Matt and I have the support to be aggressive, and that starts with our ownership. So when you feel like you have that backing and you can act quickly and act aggressively to make important moves for this franchise, that's what we did. So I wouldn't say I was surprised. It was more excited when you feel this thing closing in.
What sense did you have for competition for him? I think Reggie McKenzie said like half the league called him over the past few days.
Yeah, I think you're just making assumptions. It's like free agency, Adam. You never really know, right? But it's a pretty good. I didn't know exactly who it was, but it's pretty safe to assume a player, this talent of a player at this position, where he's at in his career, there's going to be a lot of competition.
When you part with ones, obviously that's a lot of draft capital. Where's your sense of confidence that those won't be high ones?
And so when we were talking through this, that's why a critical piece for us was getting that two back. So getting the second round pick back in 2020 was important. So in that draft, we're going to have two twos. And I think we've proven that in the second round, we can get high caliber players. So that was important because, you know, you're talking about draft capital and also financial resources you're giving up. But fortunately, we're in a really good space with our salary cap. So our roster can handle this right now. We're a young team with a lot of depth we feel good about. Just going through these cuts over the last 24 hours, I think it emphasizes, hey, we're in the past, maybe we're a team that's out there having to claim a lot of players because we feel like we have a lot of green magnets still on our depth chart, and that wasn't the case this year. So I think the youth of our team, the depth of our team, the financial health of our team, and then getting that second-round pick back was important.
Ryan, what does this move say about the window you guys have to compete for playoff berths, and how do you feel like now it's accelerated, and that you can compete for playoff berth now?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that. I just feel like we're always going to be looking for avenues to improve our team every single time, and it could be trades, it could be claims, it could be drafts, it could be free agency. Like you know that Matt and I are always going to be aggressive with these decisions, and so this one came about now, and it just happened to be Khalil Mack, and it's a pass rusher, and it's a premier player, and we're excited. I'm not going to say fired up. We're excited.
Matt. What was your reaction like when you found out this was actually going to be a reality and what it does to your team going into the first week?
It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Ryan and I have had a lot of talk, as he said, and this isn't something that just happened overnight. That's the beauty of our relationship and the way we do things. But, you know, obviously Ryan's going to ask me my opinions and what I think about him. And unfortunately, I had to go up against him for 4 years and game plan against this guy. And so he's going to get my true opinion on that, which you always will, but that was an easy opinion and easy to give back.
An assistant coach going
in this week.
Yes. Yeah, so I think everyone in here has kind of seen our philosophy on how we deal with players, and it's not a cautious approach, in my opinion. It's a smart approach. So you want to be able to make sure that you know where the player's at, and every player is different. We've seen that, and so we'll get to see where he's at mentally here after tonight, and then physically we'll have a practice tomorrow and physically get an idea where, and then we'll just kind of have to listen to his feedback on where he's at. And we told him, you know, communication's imperative here, and it's not like being able to plug somebody in on a Madden game and just say go sack the quarterback. There's some planning that goes involved to it. So we'll see where he's at, and hopefully he's able to go out there and play well. And but it'll be more of a day by day thing than anything.
As a coach who did game planning against him twice a year in Kansas City, what type of player would you say he is? How would you describe him as a player going against him?
So when we would get together, you know, you always get together as an offensive staff. You talk about who the guys are that you need to game plan around. And sometimes there's a defense that you don't necessarily need to. Obviously, he's one that you do. And so the word that used to always come to mind for myself was the dominance in what he does, you know, and whether that's mentally knowing what a tackle does and how to beat him mentally, physically with just his strength, speed to power, the experience that he has. And you heard him, as humble as he is, up here talking, it's safe to say you can understand that he's not a talker. He shows it by his actions, and you see that on tape. And because of that, I think you create even more respect from the opponents on offense.
Matt, you've been realistic throughout the process since you got the job here. Obviously, as a fan, they see the franchise grab a guy like Mac,
yeah,
and immediately they start thinking big, Super Bowl, playoffs, and so on. How much better does he make the football team, and what's realistic to expect from this defense, from this team in 2018?
So for me, the obvious answer of how much better does he make from what he's done, it's he makes us better. That's obvious. Obviously, we become better because as a player, you're talking about a guy that's been the NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So not everybody can say that, regardless of what position you're at. But as a team, I just don't think it's fair to go there and say that, you know, we're not inside the building going to put any expectations as to what we need to do. Before this happened, and I think you guys will agree with this, our goal from the start here has been to win the Super Bowl. Now, there's ways to get to that, and if our goal's not that, then we're not in this for the right reason. So does this help us? You know, you would think, yeah, obviously it helps you. But now how are we going to get to that point? And so there's so many variables that go into it with him learning new – I mean, this kid has just been through, he said it, a whirlwind. There's so many things that get thrown at him. And so he's got a balance of, you know, just having building friendships with these teammates that he's never known. And now he's got to go out there and make plays with them. So there's little variables that happen, but you know, we got to, you know, time is of the essence, obviously.
Matt, who has game planned against him, how does he impact the other 10 guys on the field by just being out there?
Well, what he does is he takes you, and a lot of times you need to take more than one guy, because usually a lot of times he'll win the one-on-one battle. So whether it's a halfback, a tight end, or another offensive lineman, so what that does is that creates a one-on-one matchup somewhere else. And so regardless of who the player is and who the team is, when that happens, that's advantage for the defense.
Right. You've been very calculated in your moves, but aggressive when you needed to be. Still, though, this is groundbreaking.
not just in terms of the picks that you gave up, but also the money aspect of it too. So why now? Why does this make sense now for what you've been building for the last 4 years?
I think when you talk about being aggressive, and it's easy when you're talking about two positions specifically, quarterback and pass rusher. Like, we're going to emphasize those positions. And so when a guy like this becomes available in the prime of his career, and not just the physical talent, the person that he is too, and I think you felt a little bit of that today, you got to be willing to act. You know, and we're never going to be a team that's going to sit back. We talk about sit on your hands. Like, it's very easy, I think, in our league to play it safe and play it cautious. And not that we're going to be reckless, but we're going to be aggressive. And I'm just proud. I want to emphasize that I work for an organization that allows us to do that. And Matt and I have a similar mindset with that. So when a guy like this becomes available, let's figure out a way to accomplish this, and that's exactly what we did.
Ryan, how do you describe the adrenaline rush of yesterday, of getting this all done?
We were talking about it because, for you know, Matt, in a game, I'm sure he has adrenaline rushes all the time. This is a different type, right? And there's ups and downs, and you know, there's moments where you're staring at your phone and you don't know, and there's highs and lows. But it was fun going through this together, you know, and just talking out every scenario together, along with George and Ted, and Joey Lane was great with the contract, and Josh and Champ, and so it was a collaborative process, and we'll remember this for a long time.
What was the moment when it became final? Was it on the phone? Who were you talking to? What was the moment when you knew the deal was absolutely done?
Yeah, it's talking to Reggie, you know, late at night, and again, but you never feel like, you know, then obviously we got to come to an agreement on the contract, which is another step. So it was just kind of there's just hurdles we were clearing along the way, and then eventually when it was finally done, yeah, we were excited.
Ryan, how did Vic Fangio react to it?
Well, last night, so Khalil got in late last night, and so Matt, myself, Matt's boys, and Vic all met Khalil at the hotel and welcomed him to Chicago. So it was kind of a cool moment. You know how Vic is. He's pretty stoic, but you could feel his excitement.
How much sleep have either of you had in the last couple of days?
Normal.
How many hours are we talking?
No, it hasn't been that nothing too bad. Sleep is valuable, so we get our sleep, and we come in the morning, and we get rest, and then we roll, and we make smart decisions in the morning.
Brian, was this decision in? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like, there's moments where we windows open to improve our team, and you got to maximize those windows because then they close. So sleep just becomes a non-factor. Maybe a couple hours a night. Yeah.
Brian, was this decision made any easier for you on a belief that, based on the work you'd already done, that the picks you gave up are less likely to be top five or top ten picks going forward?
I mean, yeah, we hope that, you know. Yeah, and I think, that's a good question. But yeah, that's our optimism. Yeah, and I want to stress the importance. Like, when we look at this next draft, right? Our first round pick is Khalil Mack. Our second round pick is Anthony Miller. I'll take that, right? And the next draft, we have two twos. I'll take that. We can do some damage there, right? So we still have quantity in our picks, and we just got to make sure, as a scouting department, that we take full advantage of that. And again, from a financial position, we're in good shape too. You look at our roster right now, and you go and there's a lot of depth around our team, and they're all young players. And that's a good spot to be in as an organization.
Right. You talk about the pride in the organization allowing you to make this move. What was it like talking with George through the process, and what was his reaction to this all?
It was great. I think once that ownership understands, and I think, you know, Matt and I have to paint a picture of, okay, this is the situation, this is the type of player, this is the caliber of player, and just having that constant dialogue, I think that's one thing that's good, is constant dialogue with ownership. So those conversations are really natural, and I think once he understands the significance that this can be for our franchise, it's such a great feeling when he says, hey, man, you guys go do your thing, you know, and you have my support, and it makes me proud to be part of this.
You mentioned your salary cap situation. How much of this is part of your
belief and faith in Mitch Trubisky. He's on his rookie contract. You don't have that big quarterback contract that he can make these leaps in the...
Yeah, that's accurate, Adam. You know, and I think we're always forecasting out, right, with our financial situations. You're forecasting far out with our roster and decisions we're going to have to make and extensions that will have to take place. Those are all things we're very mindful of. And again, I got to give a lot of credit to Joey Lane through this process and us having a lot of those important discussions as well.
Right. Change isn't always easy in the NFL, even for players of max caliber. Is it just a no-brainer that he's going to fit in your defense, have the same impact here that he did in Oakland, or did you have to kind of sort through that and actually evaluate that?
Yeah, I think he's just a rare talent, right? And I think the great thing about our coaches is, you know, Matt can touch on this more than me, but his coaches, great coaches, adjust and adapt to the players that they have, you know, and I think this is going to be a pretty easy player to adapt to.
So Matt, I just want to clarify here. So the likelihood of Khalil Mack playing Sunday against the Green Bay Packers?
Hopefully pretty good. Hopefully pretty good.
So
yeah.
Practice him tomorrow. Work him out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. He's gonna get in there and do every. We're gonna do everything we can to get him to a point to where he can play But again, you know, I know he's been working out, training, and you see the guy. It's not hard to tell he's been doing that. But we're gonna be. We got to be smart because the last thing you want to do is just throw him out there and then all of a sudden. He's hurt, and now you lose him for some time. That's what we don't want to do. So it's very similar to some of these other guys we've been dealing with, and so we'll be careful with it. But we want to be aggressive with it, but smart.
Matt, along the lines of that Super Bowl expectations question, mm-hmm. you've been preaching how it's going to take time with this offense. Now, does a move like this amp up the pressure to get better faster with that offense?
Well, so there it's kind of two different questions. The defense – is, you know, it's the defense obviously has been very productive and in regards to the last couple of years, and now you add a great piece like this, it helps out. So for our team offensively, there's questions of where we're going to be at, and we won't know that until we continue to grow week by week, and so they're both going to kind of help each other out. If it's early on where you take an experienced defense that adds this piece to it, and it's the defense that's helping, you know, get to a point to where they're helping win some games, then great. And if it's later on, it's the offense, then it's just some years are like that. And until we get the offense going, hopefully the offense is up and rolling right away. We'll see. And that's what we want. That's what we're expecting as coaches and players. And they've worked hard for that. And now you throw this element into it on the defensive side. Just a credit to Ryan and everybody else that he mentioned to allowing us to have this opportunity to bring in great players, and it's exciting right now. It really is. But we gotta do it on the field now.
Man, being the evolution of when this kind of started before camp, when you kind of heard the rumors, at that moment you probably already knew what it would take to get a guy like that. How did that help to kind of have this in your mind for a long time, make you feel a little more comfortable with the price? And so it's not just the picks, but obviously the contract.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a build-up, you know, as you go through it. And, I mean, every one of these scenarios that comes up, I think we'd be doing a disservice to the team if we didn't discuss every one of these. So we're always going to talk them out and always discuss them, and sometimes they take different turns. And this one just kept on turning in our direction, and it culminated in this.
And what's your level of concern that Roquan – with the holdout and now the injury will not have the impact you had hoped as a rookie?
Yeah, Mark, I feel like we've been really smart with how we've brought him along, and I like that we're thinking that way. So I don't really have any concerns with what you're talking about. I think he's a really good football player with high football IQ that can acclimate in really quick, and I just think we did the right thing instead of having, you know, rushing him in and having some long-term setback. So I'm glad we handled it that way, and I don't have any concerns about him adjusting into the defense.
And you took this job in January. Some of it was a leap of faith in Ryan and your belief in what you guys could do together. What does it mean to you to be alongside and in lockstep with a guy who has the aggressiveness that he's shown?
So for me, I'm somebody that really, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty good people reader, and I go with my gut in a lot of different areas where I just, you know, if I believe something, I go through it. And I've told everybody this within meeting Ryan and George and Ted, and, you know, again, obviously your question is to Ryan, meeting him right away, I knew instantly that I at least I believed instantly where this could go, and it does not shock me at all of how it's gone, and I can truly say I don't see it changing. I really don't, because of, you know, who he is as a person to the core of him, and who I know I am, and us working together, we're not always going to make perfect decisions. It's not going to happen. But we're gonna give it our best doing it. We're gonna be honest with it. We're gonna accept when we don't make the right decision and try to fix it. And that's just who we both are as people. So it doesn't surprise me.
Is there an update on Shaheen at all?
So Shaheen, we're gonna put him on injured reserve, and he will be a likely IR to return candidate for us.
Matt, how did you scheme? What is the NFL book on Khalil Mack?
Put like three guys on them. Put like three guys on them. So if you do that, then he's a hell of a player that plays fast, that makes you usually try to, you have to know where he's at. You just do. He demands that from offenses, and so it does make you, you know, and some, if you have, if their strength is a tackle or a guard or whatever, they'll you know, offenses are, they'll do different things to help out with that. But I think you'll see from most offensive coordinators / play callers / players, they respect the heck out of him because they know he's a good player. And when you respect a guy like that, you try to have an answer for it. And sometimes that takes more than one person to do that. And then you got to be able to, you know, to trust in that. But that's no secret. That's just what everybody does.
Being a former quarterback, and how would you characterize the importance of having a special pass rusher, particularly in this division where you have Rodgers and you have, you know, Cousins now?
Yeah. Well, it's really important because you're talking about in our division with those other three quarterbacks. There's some special quarterbacks that defenses need to prepare for, right? And they need to have a plan for all three of those guys. And they've proven that, those quarterbacks. So anytime you add a guy to Khalil's ability, you just know that you're helping yourself out. So I just think it's so important for us because he's closest to the quarterback. You know, he gets to affect the quarterback every play, and by trying to win his one-on-one matchup. And then, of course, too, with sack fumbles. And, you know, there's not a lot of – I know the stats out there, but it may not always be the sacks with Khalil, but man, whether and sometimes a lot of times it's the QB hits, and that rattles you more than the sacks. Sometimes those QB hits can rattle you, and early on when you get those sacks or you get those QB hits, it can affect the quarterback for the rest of the game. And so those to me are sometimes they're not racked up like the. I mean, I know they are, but they're people look at sacks more than QB. Those QB hits are effective now.
Ryan, you talked about Khalil as a person. What do you expect him to bring to the locker room?
Just right away, you can feel his leadership, his work ethic, his professional demeanor, how much he cares about football. That's the thing that shines right away. Like how much he loves this game and how passionate he is about this game. And you can just feel his energy, how eager he is to put the pads back on and get back at it. Like it's whatever time it was last night, 11 o'clock, and you know, he's itching to get back out there with his teammates. So that I think that's infectious. Those kind of qualities are really infectious.
What effect? Notes.
Of course, we went through. Obviously, I still have notes from, you know, back from New Orleans, and then we have all the scouting reports here. So you have a lot of information on his personal background and football character, and all those things lead right into what you hear now as you kind of ask around about him and the person that he is. And you know, when you make these kind of commitments to players, you better be right on that end too, and we're confident that we are.
Ryan, does this contract have any impact on your ability to offer extensions in the next 7 days?
Those are things, Pat, we talked through, and we feel we're in a really good position from a financial standpoint to accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Okay, this is really for either or both of you. To get to the final 53, which position group was the toughest to set your number at and to make the decisions on who was staying and who was going?
Well, it's a hard question because honestly they're all super tough. And then when you look at the positions, it kind of you balance out of with where you're at. You know, there's there's special teams involved too. That's like the third element that gets involved, and so you got to weigh that and you got to see. And so I don't really personally feel it's fair to say that there was one versus another. They're tough, but I don't think there's one position that we talk through it all with the coaches, with us, and you feel good about it. But I wouldn't necessarily, there's one position or two where it was more difficult. They're all hard.
Ryan, did Adam Sheen need surgery?
No surgery. No. So.
Matt, what was your boys' reaction last night? Were they all like you?
They're telling me they're bragging to all their friends you can understand they're so excited and they were talking about trying to trade for him on Madden so they can get him since it's not out yet, but they just it was neat to see because it speaks to who Khalil is. You know, he went right over to him, shook their hands, looked them in the eyes, asked their names. I got twins, so. You know, his dad, I think Khalil said, is a twin, and so he was into that. And then they just sat back and watched. You know, and can you imagine? I mean, that's pretty cool being able to be a part of that. But I told him, don't brag too much, just enjoy the moment.
Ryan, do you have a roster exemption for him, or are you going to use it? Or
no, we already have to create a spot to get to 53. So with that, we released Hieronymus Grassou to get us to 53 with the addition of Khalil Mack.
Ryan, you do a good job of insulating yourself from the public and the noise and all that stuff, but do you have any idea what kind of lift this has given Bears fans and just in general the whole idea of getting a player like this, like Khalil Mack, what it's done, the impact it's had already?
Yeah, I mean, insulation is a pretty good term because I think especially being this far north, you can live a pretty small world up here, and I think that's what we all strive to do. So I've been pretty much underground the last 48 hours. I hope that everyone's excited, our fan base is excited. I know our organization is excited, and not just football, the whole building. And when that happens, again, I keep on using the word proud or prideful to be part of this and just doing my part any way I can to help achieve that. But I don't have a good feel for the outside world right now.
Have you heard from Mitch and just the reaction? Maybe some other players. I mean, it feels like a real energy around here. And, you know, you stamp this on as the regular season starts. And there's just a different feel about your team, at least from my standpoint, covering this team for so long. Has Mitch reached out to either of you and other players and how they feel?
Yes. So there, it's been, first of all, yeah. The timing of it was hard because yesterday was such a hard day for the – so we, you know, we had a lot of the coaches, players. We try to keep it a little more intimate for the players that are coming in to have those discussions with. So there wasn't as much – they're not around as much to come up and, you know, be all excited. But, you know, you get text messages and you can feel it. You feel that there's excitement. And they all have just so much respect for Khalil as a player. They know what he can do and how he helps us. And so, but what'll be neat will be tomorrow when we're together for the first time as a team. You know, I'll be curious to see what kind of welcome they give him.
A couple more here.
Matt, is this a different job than the one you took in January?
No, it's just there's some change that occurs. I mean, it's the same deal. This thing hasn't changed. I mean, this is all a part of what we talked about doing, is trying to put our team and our organization doing everything we can possibly do to make it as good as it can possibly be. And so that's what we did. It's, to me, nothing changes as far as how I go about a day. I'm learning, but this is just I'm just very thankful and appreciative of the supporting cast, you know. But we have, you know, we got to go out and do it now. We have to. We've been through these parts, and it'll be interesting to see as we grow as a team where this takes us.
Ryan, do you feel like Mitch is, after training camp, do you feel like he's still on the track of development that you envisioned for him when you drafted him a couple years ago?
Yeah, I would say he's on that track, you know, and I think. You know, obviously, as a young quarterback, he's improving daily, and we know there's going to be ups and downs, and that's any young quarterback. But I think who we've surrounded him with, too, starting with Coach Nagy, is really important for his growth and maturation.
Ryan,
Ryan, you've taught a lot about building through the draft since you came here. What about this player made you feel comfortable about spending so much draft equity to get him?
Yeah, I think it's his youth, it's the position he plays, it's the dynamic player that he is. It's just kind of the rare moment that this type of player becomes available, and when that happens, going and getting that guy.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So there it is, Khalil Mack. Woo! Ryan Pace.
Still with us?
Yeah, if you're still here, you made it. Congratulations. And Matt Nagy. A lot of good stuff, though, in there in the Nagy and Pace press conference. I thought it was cool that Nagy took his kids, his boys, to go meet Mack last night. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Do you think Vic Fangio actually had a bigger celebration than they let on? Like, maybe they didn't see it, but like secretly in his hotel room, or not his house, wherever he lives, just went nuts.
Yeah.
You know? Throwing things around.
I wonder how much golf he got in this weekend.
That's what he did, right? Just went out hitting golf balls. Yeah.
In celebration. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us. Episode 171 of the Hogan Johns Podcast. We'll be back Thursday. I should say the voicemail line's open, and we got a flurry of voicemails on the Mac trade yesterday. 312-222-5050. So we'll have those reactions on Thursday's episode. Still time to chime in if you want to call in. 312-222-5050. Tell us how you're feeling about the Khalil Mack trade. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please tell your friends about the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Rate it, review it. We'll talk to you on Thursday. There's a game to talk about. It is Packer Week.
About time.
We the Chicago Bears. We will forever be the Chicago Bears.